May I take this opportunity to extend my greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. Good morning. As I left home coming here, my family and our church, they know about you, they are praying for you, and they feel your love. So they also say that I should convey their love greetings to you. I really want to thank God very much for who he is in my life and what he has done. And again, I want to thank God for Pastor Martin. In our church, we know him as Apostle Martin because of his apostolic ministry. And we love him very much. And I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with the people of God this morning. I am not going to take much time, but I have some few things that I want to share with you, and I hope they are going to be a blessing. Let us turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verses 28. Acts of the Apostles, 15, verses 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than the necessary things. I will just borrow some few words there in line of what I'm going to teach. And they are going to be what seemed good to me and to the Holy Spirit. Or what seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So my subject is going to be the Spirit in a believer's life. That is what I'm going to teach about. The Spirit in the believer's life. And let us go to Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 and 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, to talk about the Spirit, it is somehow can create our emotions into action, or somehow to some people it can be boring. Because why am I saying that? The subject of the Spirit is neglected very much today. We live in a world where people like things to do with the world than things to do with the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that takes from God and gives us what we need to have. And yet, many people, I'm not saying here, but the world over, that this subject is neglected. It is so sad that we cannot move on without knowing who is the Spirit. What are the works of the Spirit? Do we need the Spirit of God to move and to reach our destiny or our destination? Without which our faith is in vain, or what we are trying to exercise or to do is outdated. Now, in the scripture that I've just read, Acts of the Apostles, there were some arguments. The church came together. It was like the first assembly. So Paul and other brethren came. The apostles were there. And it came a time that he had to send them back to go to actually deliver the message. And he said, And they said this word in a form of a letter that James stood at and read. He said, it seemed good for the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no any other burden. So it seems to me, in my interpretation, as the Holy Spirit gives me the insight that you cannot do what you want to do and you leave what the Spirit of God wants you to know or to do. But it's so sad that people are doing what they want to do, no matter what the Spirit is trying to tell them not to do. Is it right for you to always demand things from God? You want him to heal you, you want him to bless you, you want him to stay, you want your family to stay together, things like that. And when the Spirit of God is speaking, you don't want to hear. Many people are not listening to what the Spirit of God is saying concerning their lives. And I'm going to explore some areas and we're going to pray together. But my prayer is that we need to do what the Spirit says. The Spirit is not here to grab us, to take from us our rights. But whatever is right for us should also be right for the Holy Spirit. If it is not balanced, then the lust of the flesh is taking place. If you don't balance what the Spirit of God wants from you and what you want from God, you need to be rational. But we live in a society where people are not rational. They think too much of themselves than what the Spirit of God says. It is all me, 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 and me. There is no place of the Holy Spirit at all. Amen? So it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to lay no other burden. It is not for us to tell the people what to do, but to tell them that this is what the Spirit says. I like the verse which my brother read here. It is a well-known verse, but when he was quoting it and read it, something clicked in my heart. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? That whosoever did what? Believe. Should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Many years ago, God fell in love with the world. And after he had fallen in love with the world don't reciprocate. They don't love him, but they love too much of the world. So whatever position, whatever condition a person finds himself in, he must know that God was there before him. Let me repeat myself. Before anything that you see is so good in the world that people are running to, I want to tell you that God was so fast there, but he didn't stay there. His love is concentrating on us so that we love him back, because he first loved us. Amen? But people love so many things of the world than they love God. They love, let me simplify them. You can love a big car, you can love a big house, you can love a big family, you can love a woman, you can love a man, you can. No, you don't need to love something that does not love you, or to love something more than God loved them. This is very delicate, but this is what we need to understand. So when we have the Spirit of God, our interpretation of biblical exegesis or understanding increases. But where there is no Spirit of God, there is miscalculation, there is misinterpretation. And so no wonder we have many people deviate from the truth and they're doing things that are not good before God and before us. Amen? Can we say amen? Amen. So, the Spirit of God was there in Genesis, and the presence of the Spirit we'll see in Revelation. In Genesis chapter 1 from verses 2, the Bible says, after God had created the heavens and the world, and the Bible says, there was a total darkness and the Spirit of God hovers on the face of the earth. Which means that the Spirit took leadership from the time of the creation. Before man was created, the Spirit of God was hovering. The word hover, I know you know English better than me, but when the Bible says the Spirit was hovering, it was just like flying around on top of everything that was there, because the Bible says over. So the Spirit was there in its entirety, but the Spirit also was there as a leader to take charge, because there was a confusion. When there is confusion, there is disunity. You don't feel like you are communicating well with your husband or with your man or with your children. I want to tell you, point blank, that you need the presence of the Holy Spirit in your home. He will take charge. He will bring harmony. When there is misunderstanding and the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, be sure that God is going to take control. Many people argue a lot in the flesh. As I said before, because it is all me, it is all me, it is all me. What I need belongs to me. What I want is for me. I want you to understand me more than anything else. You know, everything is me, me, me. But between you and your family, between you and your children, between you and your church, between you and your leader, between you and everyone, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can we say amen to that? How do you know that you are saved? How do you know that God loves you? It is in Romans that we have read. His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God. When the devil is moving around to intimidate you, to tell you that you are going nowhere, your faith has failed, the Bible tells me that I have his Spirit testify with my spirit. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. No matter which condition you find yourself, and the devil wants to intimidate you so that you lose your trust over your leadership, over your family, you need to lose trust. The devil is telling you to lose trust on your business. Even if God is existing, we live in a world today where people don't know whether there is a God or not. Ideology or human philosophy is taking over. But the Bible says, the Spirit of God testify with my spirit that I am a son of God. Amen. Amen? You need not to lose your faith on that. You need to stick on that, knowing very well that the Spirit of God will testify with you. You will get assurance. In fact, the Bible says, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, that it is the seal of God. It is like our security. When you move with the flesh alone, your security is moved or is removed. But when you are walking in the line with the Spirit of God, you are sealed, you are protected. Amen? Let us go to another scripture very quickly. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. there is constantly war. Not even for in yourself alone, even in the world over. The flesh is coming very much that if the church is not careful, the flesh will take over. As the war of the flesh gains its intensity on the people, the Spirit of God needs to lift a standard. Amen. Amen? Let me repeat again that when the world is coming to invade the people of God, the Spirit in the church, the Spirit of the living God, will lift up a standard. But if there is no presence of the Spirit in the church and the world is invading us, we will not overcome, but we will allow the flesh to take charge. It is happening in Europe, in America, in Australia, in Africa, all over. We hear many people, like, for example, I'm not going to attack anything because some of the subjects are very difficult to deal with. But just to bring it to your mind, if I have a malaria and I go to hospital, will they tell me that I was born with malaria? No. They will give me a cure for malaria. If I have dementia, if I have depression, bipolar, and I go to the hospital, they will describe and prescribe a medicine for that. But right now, there are some things that the world is teaching us to accept because you are born that way. It is a lie from the pulpit of hell that the devil is trying to invade the church, and the people in the church want to believe that and to go along with it. So the Spirit of God will work. Amen? Walk in the Spirit. Can we all say walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. It is not that walking this way. It is taking a spiritual walk. How you live every day. How do you decide what you have decided? How do you argue? How do you bring your point home? How do you reason yourself? That is how you walk in the Spirit. Some people are so emotional. Even when they drive, they are so emotional over their budget. They are so emotional when they argue. The Spirit of God is not there. They only pretend to be godly in a place called church. But at their places of work, people don't know whether they are Christians. Because they argue, they are so emotional, they nag a lot, and they can't even defend their faith. They don't know even to defend that. In fact, when it gets more warmer, people will say, we are taught like that. But can you defend it? No. Because they don't have the Spirit of God. The Bible says that on that day, you will not lack what you say because the Spirit of God will tell you what to say about your faith. Amen? So walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is so strong, I tell you, that even if you can quote and memorize the entire verse and the Spirit of God is not within you, you will be overcome. But if the Spirit of God is in you, and you even know 2 or 3 or 4 verses, the Spirit of God will energize you, and you will overcome. Can we say amen to that? We need the Spirit of God. Everyone, not as a body only, but everyone. The church of Jesus Christ was birthed by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, as they were in one accord, something came like a rushing mighty wind and overtaken the place. And it was seen
like a cloven tongue sat on each and every individual in that room, which means that the Spirit was thoroughly distributed among the saints. May I tell you that each and every person in this room, you have your portion in Christ in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You have your portion. There are many things that the devil wants you to spiritualize. And when you spiritualize them, you throw them in your heart as if they belong to a third party. It's only Pastor Martin that needs the Holy Spirit, because it's him who goes around to preach in Pakistan or any other place. You also need it too. Because where you are, the flesh is there. Where I am, the flesh is there. Where you go, the flesh is there. Amen? The flesh has something to do with anything that is carnal. Anything, be it fraud, swindling, lying, betraying, gambling, anything that you think is not right, that belongs to the flesh. So that is why we need the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is for each and every individual in the body of Christ. Each and every person must receive the Holy Spirit. And it is evidenced by speaking in tongues. That is how you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a sweet moment when the Spirit comes and takes over your life. You will not see things the way people see it. Amen? The argument today is that people are only, they are only want to behave like others. A child of God is not like others. A child of God, the Bible says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, those who are called to show forth the light. So we are not here, you are not there, to take somebody's life in the sense of how they behave, how they argue, how. No. The Spirit of God, when He comes, amen, He fashions a church the way He wants. Not that the church fashion itself or herself the way she wants. Because the Spirit is God. Amen? The Spirit is God. He understands things like, you cannot understand things of God unless you are in the Spirit. That is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verses 9. The Spirit of God searches, yea, deep things of God. There are things that are so deep that you don't understand them unless you are in the Spirit. You will not misinterpret the Bible, because the Bible was written by the breath of God. Remember, the Bible says in Timothy 3:16, for the Scriptures were given through the inspiration, which means God breathed and inspired the writers to write whatever is there. So for you to understand whatever is in the book, you must have the Spirit of the writer. Amen. Amen. When you are possessed with the Spirit of the writer, you will always get things right. But not in an arrogant way, not in a proudful manner, but as the Spirit enables you. So we need the presence of the Spirit of God. Don't think of it as a religious thing. No. This is talking about God Himself. Amen? Jesus walked from Galilee to Judea when John the Baptist was baptizing people there. If you do your study, it was a 7 days walk to meet John the Baptist. And when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says the heavens opened, and there was a dove-like came and settled upon him. And a voice came and said, "This is my son in whom I am pleased of. Hear him." The Spirit of God was present in his life. So if Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, he began his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. Who are we? For you to overcome temptations in your life, for you to overcome what people might say, you have a temper, you are hyper, you have whatever, you simply don't need those thick things that the counselor will give you and the prescription. What you need is the presence of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Because when you have temper, that is flesh. It is natural. You cannot do anything against it, but the Holy Spirit will work it out for you. When I was young and I was offended and I became angry, I failed to talk, me as a person. When I'm so much angry and so much mad, I just feel like, you know, strangling you to death. Even if you, but when the Spirit of God came and possessed my life, is now when I understand what Jesus said, that if somebody slapped this side, you turn the other side. When the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you, you don't become a man of revenge, because the revenge will belong to God, not you. I know that people offend us daily. I know that we get temper. We become hyper. We become depressed. Let me conclude by saying this. Amen. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be with you." I like that. I like that. Jesus knew that without him, there will be confusion. There are people who will be agonizing over a matter, maybe a family issue, maybe some financial constraint, maybe some sickness that besets a family. He knew that there are some things that even if you get comfort through human help, won't make it. He knew. That's why he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another comforter." The word "another" means same as. He actually wanted them to have something just like him that will continue to comfort them. When there is disunity, somebody that you married 20 years ago now can't understand you. You cry alone. In your home house, you are like, you are in detention. You feel like running away. Your children are not understanding you. Things are not getting well. Well, I have good news for you. You have a comforter. Somebody that will soothe your soul. That even if you feel like committing suicide, he will tell you, "No, I love you." And his answer for you will worth it all. Can we say amen? Amen. Somebody wave at me and say, "Praise the Lord." "I will send another comforter. I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter. He is the Spirit of truth. He will not lie. He will not tell." That spirit, the spirit is not going to patronize you.
to say, oh, you look good, you look good, you look around inside. The Spirit of God knows that you are ugly. It's not like a man that pats your back and feels the negative in your heart. The Spirit is so amazing. You know, when you're dealing with people, they can lie to you. Yeah. If I ask you, how do I look in my dress today? Somebody say, oh, good. But inside you know, oh, he looks huge in that dress.
But the Spirit is not like that. The Spirit of God will tell you the truth, and that truth will not annoy you. You will not be embarrassed when the Spirit of God speaks to you. And he has a small voice. He speaks in comfort. He speaks in confidence. He speaks in respect. We have so many things that are against us today. And we don't know that they're against us. We do them, we love them, but they don't love us. They don't. You can take medicine, a whole lot of medicine from morning to midday to night. They don't love you. But even the doctor will say that they have side effects. His love has got no side effects. The Spirit of God has no side effect. You cannot overdose in the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. So that's why when the Spirit is available, I want to run where the Spirit of God is available to receive what belongs to me. May the Lord bless you today. May you move to a place where you will be comforted. The world is not offering any comfort. No. There is no comfort outside there. The comfort zone where there is good news is where the people of God are. And it's where the Spirit of God dwells. Can we all rise up in our feet? Glory to Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We bless your holy name for who you are. Lord, I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit, that whosoever lacks your Spirit, may they receive it in Jesus' name. And even those who have been fulfilled, Lord, fill them again, more and more and more and more. May they move to a place where they will experience your fullness of glory and status. We thank you, Almighty King. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor Martin.